Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. As I was shaving one morning almost a few weeks ago, I heard this chipper little voice down the hallway say, "Happy spring, Dad." And in addition to the joy of my son and the surprise news that it was spring, that officially here, it warmed my heart. It surprised me. But it didn't surprise me, well, it shouldn't have, because it's not that I didn't know. You know, I'd just forgotten. I should have known already, because my boys have been reminding me for days and days and days. It was like, 4 days until spring, Dad. 3 days until spring, Dad. 2 days until spring, Dad. Which usually means, hey, Dad, when it's spring, can we just wear shorts forever, like every day, all the time? And so then as we sat down that morning, March 20th, to eat breakfast, newly excited that spring was here, I checked my phone. Hey, it's spring. It's going to be warmer, right? 22 degrees. Not very springy. And then I look outside, and no clouds. It was beautiful blue sky. The sun was out. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And then I look outside, and I see our maple tree in the backyard, and I can see just these little buds forming. And then I remember, you know, a few days before, our boys were really excited to see the spring flowers poke their little green shoots through the ground, and they were excited. Hey, Dad, look, you know, spring's coming. We see the flowers growing. Knowing that spring is coming, or I guess technically is here despite the temperature, it kind of pulls you forward into the future. It kind of makes you hopeful of what's coming because it gives you a glimpse of what's coming. It gives you a vision of the future. It helps you see what is coming. It helps you see that winter is ending. Spring is coming, or here, you know, sort of. And the resurrection of Jesus is like that. The resurrection of Jesus is like the announcement that spring is here, except way bigger and way better. So as we gather this morning and say, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. That's kind of like hearing, happy spring, Dad. You see, the resurrection of Jesus gives us a glimpse of the future and a vision of what is coming, and it makes me hopeful. You see, Jesus is risen in a perfect body, never to die again. And we who are in Christ are promised that for eternity. Perfect bodies, perfect world, fully alive. More alive than you've ever been on your best day. And every pain and every evil you've ever experienced is gone forever. And you'll only know joy and perfection for eternity. That is why we get excited when we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's, among many terms, one of the terms the Bible uses to talk about this, and it was in the reading in 1 Corinthians today, is called, the term is first fruits. First fruits. First fruits is the first evidence of more to come. So the first signs of what the future will be like. And you all have a very good example right in front of you. Go like this. Can you smell food? That is first fruit. You know what's coming. You have a glimpse of what's coming. It's like the pear tree in my backyard. When we first moved into the house, I noticed the pear tree way in the backyard, and I kind of thought, you know, I wonder if it'll bear fruit. Had my doubts, but hey, wait, I'll watch and wait. So I watched and waited all spring into summer, and then I see some pears growing, but I was still like, yeah, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But finally, one, you know, got big enough, looked pretty good size, pretty ripe. I'm like, okay, I'll pick it, and I took a bite. And I was surprised, like, hey, this is pretty good. It was juicy. It tasted well. And then I looked up and I saw, you know, countless pears. I couldn't count how many were up in the tree. I knew I'd have to maybe get a bigger ladder to get to them, but I'll deal with that later. Just the fact that I had tasted one and it was good and I saw all of those coming, oh, man, I knew the future was going to be good. I knew what it was going to be like because of the first fruits. So Jesus, the Bible says, he is the first fruits showing us the future. You see, there's a reason Paul, who was the one who wrote this book, this letter, uses the metaphor of first fruits. You see, the first Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, they were a little confused about some things, and they had some misunderstandings or wrong beliefs about what happened when they died. They had some mistakes about their future, and Paul wanted them to know the truth because the truth is far better than what they were believing. As Jesus himself says, the truth will set you free. And so Paul writes in his first letter, he wrote numerous letters to this Christian community in Corinth. And this first one was written about 55 AD. Now, why is that important? That is only about 20 years after the first Easter. So in history talk, this is a primary source document. It is a person who says, Jesus appeared to me, and these are people that saw it, knew it. And so when Paul writes in chapter 15, he says, for what I received, I passed on to you. This is verse 3. And he says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Peter, then the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of them who are still living. I've heard one person write about it, say, it's very important that it says 500 at the same time. Because some people want to tell you, well, maybe they hallucinated that Jesus was alive. And somebody, you know, said, you know, people hallucinate by themselves, right? They don't do it in groups. And not groups of 500. And Paul is really saying, they're still alive. This is only 20 years later. You can go talk to them. And then he keeps going. This is verse 17, verses down. He says, if Christ is not raised, your faith is pointless, futile. You are still in your sins. Even and those who have died already, if Christ is not raised, your faith is pointless. And verse 18, and we are the most of all people you should feel bad for. We should be pitied. So if Christ is dead, you should feel bad for us. Fair enough. Because if it's not true, life is pointless. This is the end. But if the resurrection of Jesus is true, and you believe it, it will change your life. But if it's not true, hey, April Fool's on us. We are the biggest April Fool's out there. This is fake news, off the charts. If it's not true, the joke is on us. But guess what? Paul says, no, really. It is true. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So what were some of the misunderstandings that Paul was correcting? I'll give you two. One would be a narrow hope. So Paul's writing to this Greek city of Corinth, and they're steeped in Greek mythology. And as a part of that, you know, some of that crept into the beliefs in the church. And part of that is that our bodies or our physical world just isn't that important. Something that, you know, it's bad, we should just kind of escape it. And they believed that your body was just simply a vessel that trapped your true soul. And so the best thing that could happen is that when you die, your body's left behind, and your soul travels, this is Greek mythology, across the river Styx into the underworld. Nobody's allowed. You know, escape that stuff. You know, it's not that good. It's a pretty narrow hope of the future. So in addition to a narrow hope, they had also what I would say the second thing is a nagging doubt. So narrow hope and nagging doubt. Well, what was that? A lot of them just said, well, you know what? There's probably nothing after this life anyways. This is it. You live, you die, you know, we better just make the most of our time here and now. So this narrow hope that, you know, the world's not that important, our bodies are unimportant and disposable, who cares? And this nagging doubt of, you know, there's really no future, so who cares? Paul writes the truth about the resurrection of Jesus and the truth of their future. But then when I start to think about it, I say, oh, are our misunderstandings all that different than those first Christians in Corinth? When I think about it, we can sometimes fall into having a pretty narrow hope and a nagging doubt at the same time. We can tend to think in narrow hope that we can imagine, you know, that all that matters is our souls and our bodies just don't matter. Kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, you know, after they die, they just appear as lighted ghosts wherever they want. And, you know, we can believe that too and tend to believe that, you know, our bodies don't matter and our souls are just trapped in our bodies. We just need to be freed and this whole world is bad. We should just escape it. And Paul wants to preach the truth to us too. That God says, every part of this world, every square inch I have created and I love and is precious and I want to renew, including you, all of you, your body, your soul, this world, and make everything right again. Second thing, nagging doubt. I bet we have that at times too, right? We can wonder if this is all there is. Is this life? Okay, and then you die. Or maybe God's not real. You've been through some really painful stuff, and you say, God, maybe you're not real. And maybe this Easter stuff, you know, get excited for one day, and that's it. Or maybe the way eternal life gets described sometimes, frankly, just isn't that interesting. We think of clouds and harps and boring stuff. No offense to clouds and harps, but... And we can think that the future just, you know, isn't that good. So we have nothing to hope for, so let's just make a decent life now. So I think we can, just like the Corinthian Christians, have at times a narrow hope and a nagging doubt. But into this, Paul writes, and he continues his letter, and this is verse 20, he writes, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead," and he uses that word, "the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," that is, died. "For since death came through a man, resurrection also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all be made alive. But each in turn, that is Christ, the first fruits," the first one. When he comes back, those who belong to him, then the end will come, and he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all evil. And he will reign until he has put all the enemies under his feet. And verse 26, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." You know what that means? That means that you, me, body and soul are created in God's image. And just as God showed up as the man Jesus, who lived and died and bodily rose, he is the first fruits of the future. And when Jesus returns, as he promises, you and I will be raised to new life, and everything that's broken about our world will be made whole. And Jesus is just the first installment of what God's will is for the future, to make all things right again. And so when we look at Jesus today and every day, risen from the dead, it works on our hearts like spring. The empty tomb, the first Easter, the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruits, the first installment of what your future is like. And so we see these signs, and they give us hope. And they show us what the future is like. You see, the future in Jesus has no more pain, no more crying, no more abuse, no more tears, no more fears, no more mourning, no more ER visits, no more funerals, or like this winter, no more influenza, right? Jesus' resurrection shows us what our future is like in Christ. For those of us that trust in Christ, every hurt, every loss, every failure, every sin is paid for and defeated. And because Jesus is alive, there is hope for the future. However, we're not there yet. You see, Jesus has risen, but he hasn't returned yet. And so we live in this in-between. We sometimes say in our services, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, but he hasn't yet. We live in this in-between. We still struggle with sin in our lives. We still experience pain. We still stand over the graves of loved ones. But we who trust in Jesus stand in hope. It's like me knowing it's the first day of spring, but then, you know, seeing my phone at 22 degrees. Spring has come. It is the first fruits of the future. And it's because of this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.